Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. He's better than Father Christmas. How you doing, Pete? What's going on?
I've certainly drank more green ginger wine, baby. Even though we're hurtling towards Christmas, I'm yet to buy pretty much any presents. I've bought one present and one present alone. And another one for a Secret Santa. I've bought no food. I've bought no booze for Christmas. I've already started into the Christmas nuts I had bought. So it's going to be a very quiet nuts. Christmas for me, because I have completely failed to buy anything we need.
And I like to think that you've bought me a Christmas present this year. You got me that present you bought. Hopefully it's for me.
Well,
festive cheer.
Probably crisps. Probably too late for the old. Probably too late for the
bollocks.
Old Japan.
Send me some crisps, goddammit!
Really? Yeah.
Send me some bacon and cheese. Sort it out. Somebody
bacon
used to send
and
me
cheese.
Something. Bacon and
you
cheese.
You could get bacon and cheese there for.
No,
quite
you
a load.
Can't. No, you can't.
Yeah,
not
you
good
can.
Cheese. Not good bacon.
Not good cheese.
I'm amidst the 12 days of Christmas still. It's been good, although my body clock is well and truly fucked beyond repair at this point.
Yeah.
I've been going to sleep at about 5 a.m. every day. And I'll tell you now,
jeez,
it doesn't feel healthy, because you sort of you wake up at midday / 12:30 p.m. and you feel really groggy and dead. And then it takes 6 hours for me to get up to speed, and I have to drink like four gallons of coffee. And then I end up here where I am now, feeling alive. And then I'll sort of repeat that process and do it all over again. I've got to film some more videos to keep the series going. It has been a lot of fun, though. It is quite fun, like getting creative and using the studio. And while it's still nowhere near as good as it would have been coming home to the UK for Christmas, at least I was able to sort of turn that crappy situation on its head and make something of December. And the fantastic extra ad revenue. Fun fact, if you do YouTube, right, guys, do loads of videos in December. There's a lot of people do Vlogmas, right? Which is where you vlog all through December. And because the ad revenue is like four times higher in December than, say, January. So a lot of people work really hard in December, put out as many videos as they can, and then just take January off, which I don't think I'll do, but I'm certainly going to take it a little bit easier. But
definitely.
Take advantage of December.
It's the same with any kind of ad-based thing. Like, everyone just absolutely ruins their budgets in December. They've always got to spend it by December. They're like, oh my god, I've got a little bit of the budget left, and they always spend it. And then January, nothing. You get absolutely nothing out of it. That's the time where everybody like loses their minds and decides to do other things in January. Never apply for a job in January.
Very true.
Too much competition.
Give me the budget. Give me all the budget. I'll spend it on building a massive cyberpunk warehouse. I did a live show last week, and somebody asked, am I satisfied with the set? And I'm very satisfied.
Never.
I don't think this set could be better. The only way it could be better is if it was bigger, right? And I swear, if I had a bigger studio, because my studio is just a room in a building. It's nothing too big. If I had like access to a warehouse, I would have done this studio times like five. and I would have probably needed a bank loan to fund it, but it would have been totally worth it. I saw a clip, actually, just yesterday, someone sent me, of even PewDiePie. He's jealous of the Abroad in Japan studio. He's like, fucking
there you go.
Chris Broad, I'm so jealous of the set. Felt pretty good about that. Felt pretty good indeed.
Yes.
Ha ha ha, look at me. We got a story this week from Eric. He says, dear Chris and Pete, I'm Eric from Geneva, and this is the story of how my friend and I had a last evening in Japan that could have ruined all of our vacation. That's another bold opener. I just want to say we went to Japan for the new year. So after two peaceful weeks in Japan, visiting most of the big touristy cities like Osaka, Kyoto, Nara, we went back to Tokyo to take our plane back home to Switzerland. We wanted to celebrate our last evening by going to a bar or a club. The thing is, it was just after the new year, so everything was kind of closed for the holidays. Eventually, we found a bar in Roppongi. That was our first big mistake. We finally found a bar where we could have a good time, but after a few hours, the barman told us that we had to close, or he had to close. It was still quite early in the night, and we didn't want to go back to the hotel. The barman then told us he was going to another bar in the building a few floors above us to have another drink. So we went with the barman. After a while in this bar, the time had come for us to go back to the hotel because my friend was starting to get quite drunk. But the problem was the bill was extremely high, around 200 euros for two drinks each. Luckily, I had just enough money left to pay. Bloody hell, that's a lot of money. 200 euros for four drinks. Do the maths, Pete. That's 50 euros a drink. It's like $50.
That's chunky.
So after leaving the bar, that's not good. So after leaving the bar, my friend and I throw up on the entry of the building.
Gosh, you don't get
revenge. We managed to get a cab to our hotel. I then heard about your podcast later on and how Roppongi is a notorious district in Tokyo. So my question to you guys is, what would have happened to us if we couldn't pay the bill at the bar? Best regards from a Patreon from Switzerland, Eric from Geneva. And thank you, Eric, for being a Patreon. If you guys don't know the Abroad Japan Patreon, it's quite good. More bang for buck than any other Patreon you'll ever see. For $2 a month, you get 50 plus exclusive videos. And that's the plug for my Patreon over.
I'll do my Patreons next.
I mean, if you'd stayed and you hadn't paid, they would have probably got some sort of Yakuza thug in to intimidate you. They would have like blocked the door. Like we've had stories where this has happened. They often have like an enforcer, like a bouncer style person, and they would have called them in and blocked the door, and they wouldn't have let you leave in all odds until you'd handed them your credit card or all the money you had in your wallet, or they'd got hold of your wallet basically. So it's a serious matter. So be extremely careful where you go. I did go in a Roppongi bar about a year ago, and I was really worried and I was very stupid going in. Luckily, it turned out to be an all right one. But do be careful. And we had a story, didn't we? The girl and the woman and her husband who just recently got married and come to Japan on their honeymoon, and they were robbed of £6,000, I think.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah.
Shocking story. I'm actually going to take that story and turn it into a video on Abroad in Japan next year when the country reopens, because I think we need to warn as many people as possible about these sort of bars in Shinjuku and Roppongi. I think they're very dangerous. And, you know, I remember that story. It was horrific. Imagine coming to Japan on a holiday for a honeymoon and coming back with £6,000 worth of debt. You know, I can't begin to imagine how traumatic that would be.
It's probably closed down now because of no tourism. It's probably...
Yeah, probably.
It probably went, shut the clip club. Shut them up.
Fingers crossed.
Not ideal.
What have we got this week on the news front, though, Pete? Any nice Chris, news to contrast the horrible stories?
Imagine if you will, Pete Donaldson. He's on a bender. He doesn't know where he is. He is in the middle of a metropolis. He's in Shinjuku, and he's on top of a roof, and he don't know how he got there. He woke up there, but my God, he wants a coolish ice cream. Oh God, he wants a coolish ice cream. Step in.
Of course
he does. 7-Eleven drone delivery service. So a leading airline, ANA Holdings, have been working with 7-Eleven Japan to deliver the dream. Drone deliveries from 7-Eleven, up to 5 kilograms anyway. they're basically testing out the possibility and how it would all work. Getting your bits and bobs delivered via drone. I mean, obviously we've heard about this stuff elsewhere in the world. I think this is the first time Japan has even trialed it. The idea that you could get stuff from 7-Eleven, they stick it on a drone, and then they fly to wherever you might be. All of your groceries, all of your ice cream drinks, maybe a Kit Kat or two. They're hoping to start the service by 2025, offering deliveries within 30 minutes. It's exciting. I don't know how they're going to get across the problem of the overhead electricity and phone lines that dog the streets of Japan. That's all it is, just phone lines and electricity lines above your head. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if that can actually work in the Japanese streets. I imagine it'll probably be of more use in kind of the more rural settings or semi-rural settings. Would that be fair to say, Chris?
I think so. I'm really skeptical of all these drone delivery services. Amazon famously did it like 2 years ago, and it was a big PR thing. And to my knowledge, they don't do it. They haven't actually sort of done it. And it just doesn't make economical sense in any way, right? As someone who uses drones quite a lot, I fly a drone several times a month for my videos. They're big, they're bulky, they're a little bit dangerous. If one of those things comes down on someone, you know, there's going to be a massive lawsuit. There's going to be chopped off heads. And I nearly took off all my fingers with my drone once when I accidentally screwed around with it. They're very kind of, they can be pretty dangerous. And it just doesn't make economical sense, surely, to just chopped have these heads. Things in the drone. It just doesn't make economic sense. Surely.
Well, would these drones be slightly different to your kind of drones? Because obviously your kind of drone just has to be smooth, it has to be safe, and it has to be, you know, it has to carry a small camera and also transmit Wi-Fi as well, Wi-Fi images at the same time. These drones probably are got big batteries, quite robust. And it doesn't really matter about the massive stability of them. It just needs to sort of get to where it needs to be. And it obviously, they're carrying is what they can carry is probably more important, I suppose.
I mean, so drones are pretty different. We're at a point where drones are very reliable now. I've never had that many issues with my drone. And certainly with this sort of drone, I guess it would have to be extremely reliable. But like, I mean, who's the ideal customer for this? You know, Mr. Takeshi, he works on the farm about a kilometer from the 7-Eleven. He wants a rice ball while he's toiling in the field, so he gets out his phone.
Exactly.
Hits rice ball, and then 10 minutes later, a drone comes flying. We have really sophisticated delivery services in Japan at the moment. We've got like Wolt, we've got Food Panda, we've got Uber Eats, and they're extremely popular these days. And I see that as being just better and far more economical and efficient than having a drone take off. Yeah. Someone's got to maintain the drone. Someone's got to put things in the drone and prep it. I think Japan is one of the better countries that could do it, where people are mindful and they care about robots and things here. Not like the UK. Yeah. If we had a drone in the UK, people are just trying to shoot it down. I know my 11-year-old self with a BB gun, like an airsoft gun, I would just see a drone as target practice. And I just don't think it would do very well in like the UK. But I suppose if it's going to work anywhere, Japan is as good as any country to try and see if it could work. But I think personally it's just a PR stunt,
if you see someone, you know, delivering something on a bike or in a car or whatever, I guess it would be a massive crime if you smashed up the car, stopped the car, stole the stuff. That would be a big crime. But I guess people would see it less of a crime if you were just throwing something at a drone and collecting whatever it drops. Like it'd be slightly more victimless, wouldn't it? You know, who are you stealing from there? Basically just Amazon or whoever sort of delivered the stuff.
Well, they'd have to put in some serious rules, right, to sort of stop people from dicking about with these drones. But
I guess so, yeah.
I just think it's a solution to a problem that isn't really there, a problem that's already been solved by delivery people on bicycles and scooters and stuff. So I don't know. It sounds cool, but I just don't think it's going to work. That's my hot take on it. Someone's going to prove me wrong. It'd be kind of cool to look up one day and think, oh, there goes a salmon in a drone. and it's being served to someone a kilometre away. That's great, isn't it?
It's a big salmon. You know,
I get out of bed in the morning and I'm like, I want some chicken, but I don't want to. I want to stay in bed and get the chicken. And the drone comes to my apartment. How's it going to land? Where's it going to land? I don't even have an outdoor
in your mouth.
Space.
Land it right in your mouth, mate.
It's going to come through the window, isn't it? It's going to come through the window
right
with the chicken.
Right in your mouth. Right in your
mouth. That is a possibility. I'm all behind it. But until that day, I'm sceptical that it's just a PR stunt. But we'll find out soon enough. By 2025, we'll find out. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with the fax machine and your comments and questions.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
Felix has got in touch. Hello, Felix. Dear Chris and Pete, my name is Felix, a final year uni student from the UK studying, among other languages, Japanese. Just a short question, but I'm dying to know, how's your Japanese? More specifically, Chris, what areas are your strongest? Speaking, reading, kanji, listening. Have any areas got rusty over time? Has anything strengthened through the many interviews, conversations and travels you've been able to do? For a learner like myself, I'm always looking for inspiration and advice, so any words of wisdom would be appreciated. Any words of Japanese, I imagine, would be appreciated. Are you sort of bigger on your reading? Are you bigger on your... Surely you speak better than you read kanji, Chris. That's the most important and difficult thing, though.
I would honestly say I'm better at reading. I can't really pick up a newspaper and just sort of read away easily. But in everyday life, sort of more basic stuff, or like to N3 level, I can read quite competently. I use the only Japanese studying I've done in recent years, there's a website called readthekanji.com, and it presents you with a sentence in kanji characters, and then you read it, and you have to sort of type out what one of the words are in that sentence to learn it.
I see.
And I've been doing that a lot, and that's really helped my reading. My speaking, I tried to combine that study with speaking, so I would read the sentence out, and I'd like take the sentence, read it out loud, and sort of say it a few times. And that definitely helped my speaking. And in the run-up to the shoot with Ken Watanabe, I really went all out and studied as much as I could, and it did nothing, because I met Ken Watanabe. I went, "Oh, hello, Ken. I'm brought to Japan." And
can we speak English, please? I'm scared.
And he was like, "Ken Watanabe."
Oh dear.
And, I was too scared, and I just didn't speak any Japanese. It just nothing came into my head. I was too nervous, and I got really angry at myself. Actually, that's part of the reason I've had trouble editing the documentary. I'm kind of embarrassed by my performance.
Shinyu Cat Nation.
It's going to be Cat Nation take two, but with Ken Watanabe, it's going to be bad. No, I mean, it'll be good. He's a great guy. But so my reading is probably better than my speaking. My listening leads a lot to be desired, I'd say. That's one of my weakest points, if not my weakest point. And my writing's really gone downhill, because you don't need to write in everyday life here. You can type it out. And when you type on your phone or a laptop, you type out the word, right? You're not writing it. So for the word cat, you would literally just type in neko, and then it would come up on screen as a kanji character for cat, for neko. So unfortunately, computer-mediated communication has been the downfall of writing in Japan and writing skills. But I do want to – I would really be sad if I get my 10-year anniversary in Japan next year and I'm not sort of – more competent than I am. So I'm going to definitely go all out and keep studying and get back on Read the Kanji. After the Ken Watanabe interview, I was so deflated by my Japanese performance that I was just like, I'm not studying ever again. I haven't studied in like 3 or 4 weeks now. But I'll get back on it. I'll get back on it. Trust me. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
We got one here from Nick from California. He says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. It seems like the rest of the world praises Japan for their amazing subways, but I'm wondering, what do Tokyo natives think about them? Are they smug about having one of the most efficient methods of transport, or do they think their subways need some work to do? What do you think, guys?" Nick from California. What do you think of Japanese subways, Pete? Underground.
I think they're cracking. I think they are, because I never need to travel for work. I never need to travel in the mornings. I think they're the most efficient and beautifully put together. I mean, because a lot of them aren't, we call them undergrounds, but like stuff like most of the lines are kind of above ground, aren't they? They're just, the city is just built to accommodate above ground trains effectively. So they just, so you don't spend quite so much time, although some of the stations are absolutely massive, some of the stations aren't massive. And so you don't spend a lot of time either going up escalators or down escalators, upstairs or downstairs. You actually, you're already kind of on terra firma.
I mean,
you know, you just need to walk out.
Absolutely. I do think that the Japanese underground subways, I can't speak for the US, but certainly it's better than London. Obviously, the underground stations in London were built in like the 1800s or mid-1900s, whereas Japan, they're way more modern. The trains are bigger and wider and more spacious. I feel a bit claustrophobic going on the London Underground, having spent time in Tokyo now. I think people are quite good about them. I've never gone up to someone in Japan and said, "What do you think of your underground system? Do you like your subways? Do you like them?" But I will tomorrow when I see Ryotaro.
Do you want to live here?
I'll
make you live here if you want. Weirdo. We got a message from Alison. Thank you, Alison, for getting in touch. Hey there, charismatic Chris and popular Pete. Yes. Which one would you choose to be, Chris? That's the question. Are you messing around with your little bit of food, or is that the light for your Christmas tree?
It's
what are you doing?
Tree.
I can see you.
Just testing.
You got your little Christmas tree.
Read the question. Stop having fun.
Sorry.
Get back to the
my question is, have you ever heard any stories of people who are trans attempting to go to an onsen by chance? I'm a trans woman myself, and I've actually been to Japan twice before, but never have I attempted the onsen adventure out of fear of how it will go. I've never had one misgender me, and bathrooms seem fine, but for obvious reasons, hiding this is a bit tougher in an onsen environment, but I'd love to be able to visit one with my husband on my next trip if possible, but I don't want to cause a scene somehow. Thanks, guys. Love the podcast. Alison. I didn't really think of that, to be honest, Chris. I'm not going to speak from any level of knowledge, because that's how I operate on this podcast. I would suggest that trans visibility in Japan is next to zero.
Zero.
And
yeah.
Imagine you're in America in the 70s, and it's not good, and it's not big, and it's not clever, but that's kind of the situation that I would suggest it. But I'm sure there are people who live in some of the bigger cities who may be able to point you in the right direction. I think Discords and forums are probably best on there, because I wouldn't want to speculate personally.
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't think I've ever spoken to anybody who's had to sort of had that sort of situation arise in Japan. Mm. My advice, I don't know, just in case it gets difficult or whatever happens, I'd say just try and get a private onsen or something. Often the advice I give to people with tattoos as well. As much as I like hot springs, these days I try and always just get a room with a private outdoor bath if I can when I do travel. I don't enjoy sitting in a public bath as much as I used to. Just sitting there surrounded by people, you just can't really truly just relax, I find. So yeah, my advice, just get like an outdoor nice bath at somewhere like Hakone, really beautiful hot spring resort.
By giving that advice, we're sort of going, well, you know, you just kind of hide yourself away, and that's never the right advice. But there's literally no other option, you would say. As two white cis men, we can only go so far, and presumably other people have had that situation before.
Yeah, and I think it's a situation that most people in Japan don't have to sort of, they just haven't dealt with ever before. It's Japan is very behind on that sort of front, unfortunately. Any matter regarding the LGBTQ+ community in Japan, it's kind of like wind the clocks back 50 years, unfortunately. Alison, I don't have any more advice on that front, but hopefully you can still enjoy yourself in a hot spring. And I'd say just get a private onsen. I don't think I've been in a public bath in a while now. Certainly during COVID, it's just not been as fun, just sitting next to someone thinking, oh God, is this worth the risk? You know, it's much more pleasant. You can truly relax in a good old private outdoor bath in a nice ryokan or a traditional inn. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back in the next few days, guys, to all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days, and we'll see you right back here to all over again on the Abroad in Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.